Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our special meditation on this fifth Sunday in Lent is again taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, reading from verse 14 through verse 16 as follows. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of poor sinners, beloved hearers of His wonderful word, over the course of the last four Sundays in this Holy Lenten season, we have been considering a series of texts which treat Christ's high priestly office. The office of perfect obedience, the office of perfect sacrifice, the office of perfect mediation and intercession, all on behalf of poor, unworthy, wretched, undeserving sinners. To this high and holy office, the eternal Son of God was appointed by His Heavenly Father in eternity already, and was anointed with the oil of gladness, the Bible says, that is, with the Holy Spirit of God Himself, without measure, so that He could be our Redeemer from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Indeed, if Jesus had only been our prophet, who revealed Himself to be the Son of God and the long-awaited Messiah, who revealed Himself by His preaching and by His miracles, or if He had only been our King, who rules in our hearts with His grace, who governs and protects His church, who reigns in heavenly glory, Jesus couldn't have been our Savior. Many so-called Christian churches and theologians indeed regard Jesus as a great teacher, and they praise His humanitarian miracles, which show that He had a heart for people, that He tried to show us how to have a heart for people the way He did. But that's about all they say about Him. Others talk all the time about Jesus as Lord, our sovereign ruler, the King of creation, the Lord of the nations, which He is, of course. But that's about all they have to say about Him. Why, even the devil and his angels, and the most outspoken, blasphemous unbelievers will ultimately have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, the Bible tells us. But Jesus is much more than our divine prophet. He is much more than our divine King. And thank God for it. Yes, my dear fellow sinners, it is right now, during this holy penitential season of Lent, that our poor, wretched, and guilt-ridden hearts are drawn by the passion of our Savior, His great suffering, and His ignominious death upon the cross of Calvary, that we are drawn to special meditation upon His office as our divine priest, the office in which He earned righteousness for every soul of man by His perfect active obedience, the office in which He paid the penalty of our debt to God by His innocent suffering and death, the office in which He opened heaven to all those who were, because of their sins, God's enemies. Thus far in these precious texts from the Epistle to the Hebrews, we have explored together just what was and is the high priestly office of Christ, and why the Father designated and anointed Jesus to it. Today we consider the fruit of that office, its great benefits, which are ours to enjoy. As the holy writer of our text exhorts us, let us hold fast in faith to Jesus, our perfect high priest. Assured of forgiveness with God because of the perfect sacrifice He made in our place. Convinced of His loving sympathy toward us in our trials and tribulations, all of which He suffered as well. And finally, confident of mercy and grace at the throne of God, by virtue of the Lord Jesus' intercession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The holy writer reminds us, first of all, who this great high priest is. He's not the man from Galilee. He's not Jesus Christ, some kind of superstar. He's not just a rabbi far ahead of his time. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus meaning the Savior, who as true man dwelt among us, John writes in the first chapter of his gospel. Jesus, who was made flesh. Jesus, who was made under the law, so that as our substitute, He could be subject to its demands and suffer and die under its curse. The Son of God, who alone could keep God's law perfectly. The Son of God, who alone could render to the Father on behalf of all sinners a sacrifice of sufficient value to satisfy His justice. Jesus is a great high priest, not only because of who He is, but because of what He accomplished as our high priest. You see, Jesus didn't do as we do. Jesus didn't make a stab at fulfilling the demands of His office as our high priest. He didn't do the best He could under adverse circumstances to be an example for us. But he perfectly atoned for the sins of all as the substitute for sinners. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. While the priests of the Old Testament, even the high priests of the Old Testament, even the highest priests of the Old Testament, could only offer up symbolic sacrifices. They could make only token atonements for the sins of God's people. This great, superior high priest, our text tells us, is passed into the heavens. Or, more literally, has gone through the heavens, according to the Greek. This doesn't refer merely to his ascension on the 40th day after Easter. But as the high priests of old went through the veil of the tabernacle, and later on the veil of the temple, to enter into the holiest place, to sprinkle the blood of a lamb upon the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of the people, Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest, has gone through the heavens with his one offering, as we heard last Sunday, to perfect forever them that are sanctified. The same holy writer describes that marvelous entrance into the tabernacle or the temple of the Most High God in chapter 9 of this epistle to the Hebrews, saying, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This redemption is an accomplished fact. The holy writer says he obtained it. He speaks of it in the past tense. For not only did Jesus cry out in triumph from his cross of agony just before he died, it is finished, it is fully accomplished. But the Apostle Peter speaks of that redemptive work also in the past tense, saying in his first epistle, chapter 1, ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Seeing then, understanding then, and valuing then the fact that we have this great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Since we have been completely assured of redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because he is such a great high priest, let us hold fast to him in faith. The faith that we confess in the second article of our creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. Purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own. This great high priest, for whose sake God reconciled the world unto himself, for the sake of his vicarious satisfaction of God's justice, for whose sake God does not impute the world's trespasses unto them. Let us hold fast that profession, my dearly beloved fellow sinners, in childlike faith. For its assurance to you is the forgiveness of your sins. Its assurance to you is life everlasting in heaven, something that only your great high priest could have done for you. And let us hold fast to Jesus, our perfect high priest, fully convinced of his loving sympathy toward us in our weaknesses and trials. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, tried, tested, like as we are, yet without sin. As great a high priest as Jesus was, and as Jesus continues to be on our behalf in heaven, now exalted to the right hand of God. Exalted because of his incomparable redemptive work. We are reminded by the holy writer of our text that our Savior is also true man. Flesh of our flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, who became one of us for the express purpose, as Isaiah prophesied of him, to bear our griefs and to carry our sorrows. Not just the punishment that we deserve to suffer in everlasting torment because of our sin, but even our griefs and sorrows here in this world. Not only did Jesus suffer poverty, contempt, and persecution throughout his earthly life in his state of humiliation, not only did he endure the deepest imaginable agony and torture of body and soul in his own guilt trip in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not only did he endure the greatest torture for us under Pontius Pilate, as we are examining in our midweek Lenten meditations, but he underwent in all points the very same trials, the very same afflictions, the very same pains, and the very same sorrows that we experience in this present life. As we sing in that old familiar hymn, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? And obviously there is. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He hungered. He thirsted. He worked hard. He knew what fatigue was. He was mocked and mistreated, slandered and defamed, abused and scorned. He wept at the grave of a loved one. He knew what it meant to be deserted by his friends. His dear heart broke when his beloved disciple Peter denied 3 times that he even knew him. His dear heart broke when his own familiar friend in whom he trusted, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him into the hands of his enemies for mere money, and then went out in unbelief and committed suicide. Jesus has been where we are. His heart went out to his dear mother as she wept at the foot of his cross. He knows where we are coming from, as the saying goes, when we're burdened down with grief, when we're burdened down with pain, with frustration, with fear, even with the guilt of our sins. Jesus felt that guilt in the Garden of Gethsemane to the extent that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We've never felt guilt like that. And yet he went through all of those things, all of those trials, all of those temptations without sin, our text tells us, which made him the victor in the strife, which made him our hero. He took it so that we don't have to. He suffered it so that we don't have to suffer to the extent he did. He overcame our weaknesses in our place. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. People singing that old spiritual. Nobody knows. Nobody knows but Jesus. Jesus knows. He's been there for you and for me. And his loving heart still sympathizes with us, his redeemed children, when we hurt. When we cry, when we groan in anguish over a heart-rending tragedy in our lives. Let us, therefore, hold fast in faith to Jesus, our perfect high priest. When the sufferings of this present time, as severe as they seem to us at the moment, when the sufferings of this present time weigh us down, Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord. Take it to your great high priest in prayer. In fact, just because Jesus is such a great high priest, such a perfect, sympathetic high priest, let us therefore, the holy writer of our text says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, confident of the forgiveness which he purchased with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Let us go to him convinced of his loving sympathy toward us in our weaknesses. Let us come to the throne of grace assured of his powerful intercession for us at the bar of divine justice, where he pleads not sympathy for us, but where he pleads his perfect active and passive obedience in our place, where he appears as our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the truly righteous one. You see, no sinner dare approach the throne of God clad in his own filthy rags righteousness. God doesn't even hear the prayers of unbelievers, much less answer them, the Bible says. And those who turn away their ear from the hearing of the law, those who refuse to hear and to heed God's word, even their prayer shall be abomination. We learn from Proverbs 28, verse 9. Only by faith in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, our great high priest, our mediator and intercessor, do we have access to the throne of grace, because by faith in Christ Jesus our Redeemer, we are clothed in his righteousness. His righteousness, which is imputed to us as our righteousness by faith in him. Because we plead his merits alone. Which is why we ask everything in Jesus' name. We ask everything for Jesus' sake, because of his perfect vicarious atonement as our high priest. His holy, precious blood cleanseth us from all sin, the Bible assures us, so that God is no longer angry at us. He loves us. He extends to us his fatherly kindness, his mercy that endureth forever, the gift of his free grace in Christ Jesus, our perfect, our great high priest. Should we ever then hesitate to bring our petitions unto the throne of grace? Should we ever doubt that our proper Christian prayers will be acceptable to our Father in heaven? Should we ever wonder whether he will really hear and answer our plea for help in time of need? Never, the writer of our text says. Seeing that, inasmuch as, because of the fact that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. For he ever liveth, both now and for all eternity, to make intercession for us, the Bible assures us. We have him. We have this great high priest, our text tells us, as God's gift of love to us and to all the world. Let us, therefore, hold fast in humble childlike faith to Jesus, our perfect high priest. Confident of God's forgiveness for his sake. Confident of his powerful intercession. There is, after all, one God. And there is, after all, only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the Bible says, who gave himself as our great high priest, who gave himself a ransom for all. no one else ever lived in this world. No one else who ever died in this world. No one else who ever passed out of this world into God's glorious heavenly home. No one else has Christ's divine credentials. No one else has earned the right to approach unto God for us. No one else has God's ear on behalf of us poor sinners. No saints, no mediaries, no canonized individuals, no one but Christ himself. By God's grace, we have an advocate with the Father, the one who represents us at God's throne in heaven, the one and only one who pleads our case at the bar of justice, the one who submits into evidence on our behalf his vicarious atonement as the propitiation, the payment of satisfaction in full for our sins. The only one who intercedes for us sinners and who prays for us sinners both now and in the hour of our death. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Through him, our precious Savior and our perfect High Priest. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.